Good morning. This is The Coffee Table. I'm KBBI News Director Daisha Eaton, and I'm here today with cook Terry Roble for our holiday cooking program. Hi, Terry.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I guess you do this every year.
We do. It's so fun. It just kind of unofficially kicks off the holiday season for me and Homer.
And so I understand you used to have a column in the Homer News.
I did. It was great. I wrote it every other week for a few years. And I wrote about things that happened in my family that related to the food that I cooked and fun stories and traditions in our family. And it was a lot of fun, and I need to start doing it again.
And how did you get so into cooking?
Oh, gosh. You know, I think it was just a matter of having to feed my family. And I have a little creative side that I could never find time to express. And so I expressed it through my cooking. And it just was something that I really, really enjoyed. And it just kind of grew and grew and grew. And now I'm really pleased to be here and overweight and glad to share all my recipes and fun with the community.
All right. We're going to be taking your calls. If you have a holiday disaster story you want to share, if you have a holiday success story when it comes to cooking, please give us a call. The station number is 235-7721. We also will take your questions and try to answer them if we can. And if you'd just like to talk about something that you do as a tradition of cooking a certain meal or dish in your family that's really special to you, or perhaps something new that you're trying this year, just give us a call and tell us all about it. We want to hear. Our number here is 235-7721, and we're on there with you for the next hour. So, Terry, what are you going to be preparing this year?
Oh, very, very traditional Thanksgiving at our house. If I deviate at all, I get in big trouble with the whole gang. So what's fun for us is we raise our own turkeys now. And this year, we had three of them that made it through. And there was two 25-pounders. And then the last turkey, he had to hang around until my husband got back home from moose hunting. And he dressed out at 41 pounds.
Wow. Yeah. That's a huge turkey.
That's a huge turkey. Yeah. So I know Terry's sitting here having a heart attack. So that would feed quite a few people, but we're not making that one for Thanksgiving. Small table at my house this year.
So what are the traditional dishes that you like to make?
Well, you know, just we're from Wisconsin, so a lot of Midwest things. And just it's so traditional. I could make them with my eyes closed, and I don't even need a grocery list when I go to the store. I sometimes call it the canned food holiday because it starts. Well, my mom liked to make homemade cranberry relish with fresh cranberries and orange and sugar, but we also liked the cranberry jello gooey stuff in the can. Okay. And the green bean casserole is the favorite, and you guys, you know what that is. It's the green beans in the can, the French onion, it's from Durkee, the cream of mushroom soup. I throw some water chestnuts in with mine to give it a little crunch, because everything to me at Thanksgiving in my traditional Thanksgiving plate is a little mushy. So we have our cranberries and our green beans. I make a potato roll that incorporates mashed potato in it, and it just makes for a nice buttery, moist roll, and which are also really good to stuff turkey in that evening or the next day. And of course, a very traditional bread stuffing with apples, celery, onion. Sometimes I'll throw a little roasted pecan in there. But then we befriended some really sweet people when we first came to Homer, and she's a very southern gal. And she introduced us to cornbread stuffing. Mm. So now, yeah, it's really good. Sausage goes in there, onion, celery. So now I have to make two dressings, stuffings, whatever, because they're both really loved at my table. And of course, lots of gravy, you know. I think gravy could be served in a glass around my house and we could just drink it. we've got, what else do we have? Oh, and then, you know, you guys remember all the little relish trays your grandmas would put out with the little olives and the little gherkin pickles. Okay, so we got to do that. And then one thing I missed from growing up was spiced apple rings or spiced crab apples. Mm. And they were kind of like a sugar pickled, cinnamony type red sauce that these apples sat in. And they just tasted good and they were pretty. So I've been kind of messing around trying to make my own.
Huh, wow, I've never heard of that. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, and they're really good. And then, of course, the usual pumpkin pie and pecan pie. And sometimes we do a Waldorf salad. You know, it's just all the basic stuff. And everybody has their favorites. And, you know, if I try to slide something in on the gang, you know, like different sweet potatoes or something, they're just like, no way. Oh, and by the way, the sweet potatoes. Oh, yeah. Got to be like a sweet potato souffle with vanilla and eggs and sugar. Ooh. And oh, the little marshmallows go on it.
Yeah, so
it's always so basic.
I always have this thing is do you want to have sweet potatoes or do you want to have yams? Or can you just have them both?
You can have them both. You know, and they are different.
They're
different.
Yeah.
So I always try to get a sweet potato. And I love sweet potatoes. I love squash. You know, lots of squash back where we come from. And you just, you know, lots of butter goes in it and a little maple syrup. And you mush it all up. And, oh, it's just yummy, yummy.
And then also with stuffings. So there's all these, like you said, there's all these different stuffings. So you could have the regular kind of bread, traditional stuffing. Mm-hmm. You could have a cornbread stuffing. Mm-hmm. You could have a wild rice stuffing is one that I discovered a while back. After a while, sometimes I just get sick of regular bread stuffing, and I just want something maybe a little lighter, I guess.
Because it's really heavy. And you know, stuffing, this is so funny. Stuffing goes in the bird. You stuff the bird. Dressing, you bake outside the bird. I'm like, okay.
Right, so I guess that would be considered, is it stuffing or dressing?
Well, yeah, and it just depends on what you do.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, do you actually cook your stuffing inside the bird, or do you do it separate?
Well, the chief likes stuffing in the bird. I prefer dressing baked in a pan. So we do both.
All right, mm-hmm. A little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
All right. Well, if you'd like to give us a call, we would love to hear from you. Our station number here is 235-7721. We're taking your calls. We want to hear about your Thanksgiving cooking successes, failures, new things you want to try, your family traditions. The number here is 235-7721. And I'm Daisha Eaton here with Terry Roble on Coffee Table. And it looks like we have Weatherly on the line. Hi, Weatherly.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, this is Daisha. I'm here with Terry Roble. And did you have something you wanted to share with us or a question you'd like
to? Yeah, this is Weatherly. I'm from Halibut Cove.
Hello.
And my husband and I, we grow oysters and mussels.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was just calling to say they were a really popular dish for the holidays, and we're always really enjoying cooking them and sharing them with friends. And
yes.
Having someone pick up some right now.
Oh, it sounds great. You know, I sent Daisha a picture of some New Orleans oyster that I like to make as an appetizer this week. Mm-hmm. And you know, Weatherly, I am in love with our Kachemak Bay oysters. I don't think I've had a better, sweeter, fresher, more perfect oyster in my life, and I never used to eat them. A lot of folks from the East Coast like to put oysters in their dressing. I think oysters are the perfect appetizer because they're light. They're totally different than what you're going to eat. They don't ruin your appetite. They're wonderful with champagne or sparkling water with a little lemon. And you guys got a great, great gig going on over there, and I'm so blessed to have so much amazing seafood available in my life to cook with. So
definitely.
What do you like to do? I mean, we like to do all kinds of fun things with oysters. What do you have a favorite? Or,
well, my husband always likes to cook oysters Rockefeller for everyone on Thanksgiving, and we just really enjoy that. This year I'm doing a new recipe. It's called Angels on Horseback.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And it's oysters on a piece of toast with bacon and anchovy paste.
Mm. Yum. You know, that sounds amazing. My dad always had to have oyster stew on Christmas Eve. And Mom would go to the store and get this little, like, pint-sized container of just the oysters in their liquor. And she had this amazingly simple recipe, and Daddy loved it. And it was just, like, butter and milk and cream in the oysters. And we would sit and watch him eat that with his little oyster crackers. And,
yeah,
if he only knew what wonderful oysters we could get now.
I know. It was kind of the same for us. We'd go actually oystering in a little salt pond by our house and get the oysters off the rocks and then bring them home and shuck them. But they were always gnarly and old oysters that were really hard to shuck. So I feel really lucky now we have the best easy to shuck oysters.
We do. Does your husband put Pernod in his oysters Rockefeller?
We never have, but we could try that.
It's that anise type liqueur, and actually my son and I, we just didn't want to go buy a whole bottle once, and we tried just a little tiny few drops of anise extract, and that was fine. But, you know, if you got a good gig going, keep it.
Yeah. Lemon. We always use lemon.
Uh-huh.
All right. Thank you,
Weatherly. Thank you so much.
Well, hey, have a great
Thanksgiving.
Yes, and I love the Cove. It's such a little gem. And you have a happy Thanksgiving, too, okay?
Thanks.
Yeah.
Bye.
And how lucky we are to have all this amazing fresh food around us. I mean, sometimes you think, you know, the turkey, the stuffing, the cranberry sauce, a lot of those things really aren't from here. And they're great. And, you know, we can go to the grocery store and buy them. But we can actually go down to the beach and, you know, get oysters.
And well, we can, but you know what? We grow the turkey. We grow our own potatoes. Okay. Lots of times if I have time, I'll make my own bread for this stuffing. We have hens, and so I have fresh eggs. And I had a girlfriend who used to gather cranberries and make this to die for cranberry-type sauce relish with lots of lemon and orange and spices. And
so with the wild cranberries.
With the wild cranberries. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're really, we can source a lot of this, and I'm so happy that we can, because it's such a big thing that, you know.
Yeah, and it seems like that's kind of a trend is, you know, returning to using local foods and, you know, people doing more of this at home.
Absolutely. And I just, you know, I'm really proud to put so many homegrown things on my table from Alaska. So,
all right. Well, maybe you have some things that you grew in your garden out there in the radio land where you're listening that you want to share with us. Did you grow some food you'll be using this Thanksgiving? Or perhaps you raised your own turkey? Or maybe you're not even having a turkey. Maybe you're going to have salmon for Thanksgiving, or you do something completely different. Give us a call here at KBBI. The number's 235-7721. I'm Daisha Eaton here with Terry Roble. Now, Terry, you have brought a couple of your kind of holiday specialties in here. We have them in the studio, and it's hard not to eat them. I'm looking over at them, and my mouth is watering. We have a couple of things. Do you want to tell us about them?
Well, we have a caramel corn that's very easy to make. When I was a little girl growing up in Wisconsin, there was this amazing little confectionery store on Main Street. Yeah, this is very basic, folks, called Caramel Crisp. And they had this beautiful, huge copper kettle. And they made this buttery, perfect caramel corn in it. And, you know, believe it or not, when I was a little kid, I never really cared for it. And then, I don't know, just a bunch of years ago, I decided I needed to make some caramel corn. And the recipe I have is from a really, really old gal. It's so easy. I just pop my corn in my air popper, and then you just boil butter, brown sugar, light caro syrup, and some salt, and drizzle it over your corn in a big old roasting pan, and then you bake it in a very low oven, 200, stir it every 15 minutes for about an hour and a half, and it's just yummy, and it's good, and people love that.
Delicious. Well, I tried it and I can verify it's quite good. So let's go to David. Hi, David. This is Daisha, and Terry's here with me. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you. I didn't have a recipe or a food item to pass along, but I thought maybe a bit of humor.
We like humor.
Okay. Well, when you first move out of your parents' home, your first Thanksgiving is always a challenge that you do on your own. And when I moved out, for the first number of years, I had coworkers who took pity on me and invited me home. So
nice.
Had a Thanksgiving dinner that way. One of my problems was I never really paid attention as a child when my father was carving the turkey. And so some years after being on my own, a lady I was dating invited me to have Thanksgiving with them. She and her two daughters, and we sat at the table, and she brought in the turkey, and she sat it in front of me with the knife and the fork, and I didn't really have a clue what to do next.
Most people do that. It's very common. And, you know, we really lucked out because one of our dearest friends when we first came to Homer 32 years ago was a butcher, and he was always at my holiday table. And so it was always a given that Colin would carve.
Well, I got through it, managing to cut off enough meat to get everybody started on the first course anyway. But it was certainly a lesson to me that I should have paid more attention to some of the details rather than anticipating what I was going to eat.
Well, now you're probably an expert at it, right?
Well, I can handle it a whole lot easier, that's for sure.
Do you have any carving tips? I have to admit, I've never carved a turkey. If somebody set me in front of a turkey, I would have no idea what to do.
Well, other than cutting off some of the extremities to begin with, yep. What I used to do is start parallel to the bone on the breast and cut down and then begin to cut slices and cut in. But since then, I have seen on the Internet, great source of information,
awesome,
that the best thing to do is to cut the whole breast section,
yep,
off on each side of the bone, and then with a flat surface and the bird not rolling around on you, you can go ahead and cut up slices.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I know when people ask me for recipes in the grocery store and things, and they said, Terry, how do I cook such and such? And I went, Google. It's amazing.
Yes, it is. Well, that's about all I have to contribute. The only other dish that we used to have as a kid was German sausage dressing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those Germans know how to make their sausage.
Well, they do, but unfortunately the tradition in Germany was that they did a whole lot better on inspecting their meat than we did.
Oh.
So they would oftentimes serve the turkey or the dressing when the sausage wasn't completely cooked through.
Ew. Okay.
Okay.
No.
And so with caution about that, my folks switched over to mixing it with hamburger and making sure that it got cooked properly. And particularly if you stuff it in the bird, that's always a potential problem regardless of what stuffing you use.
Yeah.
But that pretty much solved the problem.
Yeah, we love sausage in our dressing, and actually we have a mousse. There you go, another locally sourced thing, Daisha. We make mousse breakfast sausage.
Uh-huh.
And it's just yummy. And you know, I was reading something last night. A lot of people, they'll take their stuffing out of the bird and put it in a separate bowl and then continue baking it just to make sure that everything is good and cooked.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've resorted to also.
Mm-hmm. And it keeps it hot. So,
all right, David, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
Hey, thanks for calling in.
Okay, bye.
Enjoy your holidays. And we have Peggy on the line. Hi, Peggy. This is Daisha. I'm here with Terry Roble. How are you doing?
Hello, Terry Roble.
Hi. What are
you
doing?
I'm looking for a really good, like, pumpkin cocktail to have with Thanksgiving.
Oh, Google.
You got No. Come on now. You got to have a couple.
A pumpkin cocktail.
Okay, so what about something that's festive and holiday?
I know you do have some cocktails up your sleeve, don't
you?
Yeah,
I always
have cocktails up my sleeve. They're not pumpkin, are they?
No, you know, but think about it, though, Peg. They make pumpkin liqueur. They make, I bet you, a Bailey's thing. I mean, it's like, how about a pumpkin ice cream drink?
Ooh. So, what would that be like, Terry?
No.
If we put, like, let's say, like a whipped cream vodka?
Oh. all that. Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Oh, and then, you know, hey, so you get a little ice cream going on here. And, yeah, a little whipped cream vodka, maybe a little creamed cocoa.
Oh, and then mix sugar with the pumpkin spice and put it around the rim.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the rim thing. I'm digging that.
What then, time you want to come over?
I might get off at 4:30-ish or so.
I'll see you then.
Oh, I love you, darling.
I love you, too. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Peggy. And you, I know we were thinking we probably wouldn't talk about cocktails since this is a morning show, but you do have some cocktails up your sleeve, don't you?
Oh, just a few, you know. when I was a little kid, my mom, she would make grasshoppers for her dinner parties to serve after dinner. And those were fun. It was Wisconsin is such a dairy state. And I'm sorry, you guys, I always go back to talking about Wisconsin, but it's part of who I am in a big, big way. And we had amazing ice cream back there, of course. And so, you know, she'd get the ice cream, a little cream, and cream de mint and cream de cocoa, and she'd put it in her handy dandy little blender, and then she'd put it in these beautiful little coupe glasses and put a little cookie in it. So those were fun.
Yeah.
You know? And there's lots of wonderful things to make with apple drinks, you know, hard apple cider, just think fall, you know?
Yeah.
And one of our favorites is just, oh, it's so basic. It's a brandy old-fashioned sweet. So this is also from my Wisconsin upbringing. We love them. They're our holiday drink. We have special little Lennox glasses that have holly on them. And I already got them out. Yes, I did. And so it's just you fill your glass with ice and you add a jigger and a half of brandy and a couple shakes of bitters. That's what gives it its very unique flavor. And then you fill your glass up with 7-Up and you throw in a cherry, a maraschino cherry, and a little rind of orange and a little squeeze of the juice. And you stir that up and those go down pretty nice.
Oh, I'm sure. Sounds very tasty. Well, we're going to go to Heather on the line, and I have written on a little note to me here that Heather is from Italy. Hi, Heather.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not from Italy. I'm from Homer, but I'm in Italy, and I have a question about weird pumpkins here.
Hi, sweetie.
Thanks for calling.
Hey.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my heart is just racing.
So you've got Italian pumpkins on your hands.
They have these pumpkins here that are very smooth. They have kind of a grayish green, thick rind, but the inside is bright yellow and it's very smooth and it seems like it's good for roasting, but I need a good idea because I have a very international crowd tomorrow to please.
Well, do you just want to roast it or do you want to stuff it with something?
Well, what do you think, Terry?
I think I would put a little if you have probably lots of beautiful vegetables over there that you can access, and I would possibly I'd scrape some of that pumpkin out and try to keep it in chunks maybe like even just get two little ones. And so scrape one out so you have kind of this nice hearty little pumpkin bowl, and then maybe the other one roast it and take the chunks and then possibly add in some onion and a little, your beautiful Parmesan cheese over there.
Also serve it in the bowl.
And serve it in the bowl and pretty things. Maybe throw in some roasted red pepper, maybe a little basil. And they like homey things over there too. Maybe an egg custard sort of a base thing.
That might be too complicated for
me. I know. Let's go back to the veggies, okay? or you could just do a really basic, you know, roast the pumpkin, cut it in the little chunks, just do a little quick saute with butter and salt and pepper and maybe a little sweet, like if you get a little maple syrup or even a little brown sugar over there and a little Parmesan and just keep it simple. You could throw in some already cooked sausage because I'm sure you have access to amazing sausage.
Okay. These are good ideas.
Little white wine. Oh, I miss you horribly. I love you.
Do you want a fun fact about Italian pumpkins?
Yeah.
They're actually called sea pumpkins, Marina di Chioggia, because they're from Venice. That's where everybody really likes pumpkins.
They're little swamp pumpkins, if you will. Swamp pumpkins. You know, that just doesn't sound real good. I bet you they're awesome.
Okay, well, then say sea pumpkin.
All right.
But thank you so much for your advice. I'll take a picture for you.
Please do, and send it my way.
Thanks for calling.
Bye, sweetie.
Wow.
Wow, she called me from Milan.
That was sweet.
Oh, you know, when Darley said we had Heather on the phone, I went, oh, it just couldn't be. And I went, well, you know what, though? This lady, she makes stuff happen. So, yeah, I was thinking, that's my Heather.
And, you know, it's amazing how delicious that roasted vegetables, just roasted vegetables
them.
Can be. It's a simple thing. It's not complicated. You don't have to knock yourself out.
Nope.
You cut up a bunch of vegetables, put some herbs and a little olive oil on them and throw them in the oven.
It's my favorite thing to do. Oh, also, our really sweet, awesome Alaskan carrots. Oh, the best.
The sweetest
the
of the
sweetest,
sweet.
Just like the oysters and the seafood. And, you know, I like to do in the summertime, well, I do it all year long too, grill veggies. Same kind of preparation.
Yeah, me too. I love grilled and roasted veggies. Well, I'm Deja Eaton here with Terry Roble. We're listening to your holiday stories. We haven't heard any disasters yet. We'd love one of those. Your holiday cooking disasters, your holiday cooking successes. We have people calling from Italy talking about how to cook pumpkins. That was really nice. And we're here. We're also taking your questions or concerns you may have if you're thinking about cooking something new. Call us up. Talk to Terry. The number is 235-7721 here in the studio. Well, you know, my favorite thing, I'm just going to go to what I
just
like to cook.
Just go.
I am really, you know, I do love to cook. My grandmother is huge on cooking.
Oh,
she was
awesome.
A Depression era child. She grew up with, you know, not a lot really of food. I mean, she told me a story one time of sitting in a restaurant and ordering a cup of hot water and putting ketchup in
yeah.
it. And that was her lunch.
Yeah.
You know, so food really meant a lot to the family, and she made a huge effort at the holidays in particular to really cook up a storm, you know. And when you went there, you knew you were not going to leave hungry. And she used to have a bakery and a little old family cabin, and she baked bread, and people would come from miles and miles around, and she baked a lot of pies. So I kind of took that as the thing I wanted to take after her with, was cooking the pies, because I was like, okay, she's really good at cooking. What can I do that might, you know, measure up? It was kind of intimidating, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So my thing that I like to make is super simple. It's just an apple pie, you know? But, you know, you use the Granny Smith apples. They got to be the Granny Smith.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, because they're very tart. And I always use a little lemon juice,
yes.
even to make them extra tart. And, you know, the crust is the thing. Everybody's always worried about the crust. Well, my grandma has this recipe in her cookbook. And I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but it calls for, I think it's like a teaspoon of vinegar.
Uh-huh.
And one egg.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of weird. You don't think about a pie crust with vinegar. But whatever it does, it's like you can't ruin the crust.
Yeah, I've heard of that. I'm sure I've tried it.
I'm giving away my grandmother's baking secrets, rather.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she never puts vanilla into the pie, but I'm just kind of, I love vanilla. I can't get enough of it. So I'll put, you know, along with the cinnamon and the sugar, I'll put a little vanilla. Actually, yep. Kind of a lot of vanilla.
That's okay.
And so that's what I like to make. That's kind of my one thing. If I'm going to a potluck, which I am this year, gratefully, I don't have to cook the whole thing by myself. I'm going to bring that pie because, you know, it's like I know how to make it. And when I make it, I feel connected to her.
Yep.
And it's like it brings back. It's almost like I'm there.
Yeah. Oh, pies are, you know, when I was a young bride, and I was a very young bride, I would make pie crust, and a lot of times it didn't turn out, and I can't tell you how many pie crusts got thrown against the wall.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, so frustrating. To this day, I cannot buy a pie crust without the other fishermen giving me grief. So we don't buy pie crust. And my mom was so funny. We were talking about pies last week, and I said, some pie she was making. And I said, well, Mom, so what crust did you use? Did you make your own? She goes, honey, I haven't made a pie crust since I was 40 years old. Okay, Mom. Okay, she's going to be 81 tomorrow.
Wow.
So, grandmas are awesome. My grandmas were both really amazing bakers. They both made great baked goodies. One was actually a really good pie baker, and the other one was more of a cookie, rolls, cake type of baker. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's fun to make those things, and you're connected with them, and they're right there with you. And I hope, you know, that you can pass that down, and somebody in my life will say, they'll see a recipe that I hand wrote on and went, oh, yeah, that was my grandma. And, yeah, she lived in Alaska, and she's crazy. She loved to cook.
Yeah, we all have those recipes. I mean, I think everybody,
I love them.
You know, even if it's not a recipe, I mean, like you were saying, maybe it's the cranberry sauce out of the can for you. And, you know, that's fine. I mean, my family did that, too. We would make the fancy, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Homemade cranberry.
And that's so easy.
But we always got the can, too.
Yeah,
because
you just
we just liked it.
Because you just did. It was just one of those things you had once a year. I don't honestly have a can of it. I'm going to serve, but I do have one in the pantry just in case. Mm-hmm. I want a little lather.
It's good on sandwiches.
Yes, it is. I love it. And I've mixed the cranberry jelly and mayonnaise in a little Dijon for a really awesome turkey sandwich spread. You know, get creative, right?
Yum.
But your pie, yes, your pie sounds amazing. There's a few different tricks you can do. Like my mother-in-law always made her pie crust with all butter.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a very flaky, poofy crust.
Mm-hmm.
There's tricks to use vodka in it. No,
Ooh.
You don't taste it.
I haven't heard of that.
And the alcohol evaporates as it bakes, so it makes a lighter.
Probably for the flakiness.
Yes, absolutely. Huh. And so I used to always just use plain old shortening, but now I'm doing half shortening and half butter in mine, and it's a nice flavorful crust.
Well, I'm going to tell you that my grandma, I am pretty sure, used Crisco.
Yep.
And she might still. but I started using butter.
Yeah. And you know, trick about Crisco, I found out too. Crisco, I don't use it a whole lot. It can go rancid.
Yeah.
So I keep mine in the fridge and watch the date on it, just so you know.
Yeah, I have to say, I don't want to know if she uses Crisco. All I know is it tastes good.
You don't need it that much. You'll be fine.
So we have another caller, Lindy Ann. Hi, Lindy Ann.
Good morning, Daisha. Good morning, Terry.
Hi, Lindy Ann. How are you, my friend?
Well, pretty good. We're getting ready for family Thanksgiving tomorrow, and I thought I had a question and an Italian trick.
Oh, yay.
So I'll start with the Italian trick.
Okay.
That is put pesto on your vegetables.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and we made pesto this year. And a friend of mine calls it super pesto.
Super pesto?
Yeah. You use an entire head of garlic.
Whoa.
Yeah, the whole thing, and a big one, right? And then, of course, lots and lots of olive oil and of course, the basil. But what makes it super pesto is pine nuts are too expensive anymore.
Oh, gosh, they are.
So we put in almond butter.
Mm.
Oh, my God. It makes it so rich and creamy, and it's a really wonderful pesto. And then, of course, sea salt.
Yes. That sounds awesome.
It's great. And then you just put it on the vegetables, put some on the table.
Oh.
People can put it on their turkey or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So that turns it into an Italian Thanksgiving. My question is this. We have canned peaches that we canned.
Yum.
And I want to make it into a pie, and Bumbo said, well, make sure that it sets up correctly. You know, you don't want those peaches sliding around. So what would you do to make the sauce that the peaches are in?
Oh, my gosh, you have canned peaches. Mm. My grandma used to can her own peaches and they were just amazing. She'd put them in those big quart ball mason jars.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you first said you had canned peaches, I immediately thought of a recipe for spiced Kahlua peaches that an old friend had. Mm-hmm. And they're just amazing, but they're not a pie.
Mm-hmm.
But usually, you know, and sometimes I have failures on the setting up of the pie too. But a lot of times it's because I don't let it get cool enough. Our family likes to use flour and cornstarch in it as a
mm-hmm.
thickener.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to make sure that you get a nice little ratio of that in there, and you're probably going to slice your peaches, right?
I was thinking nutmeg.
Nutmeg and cinnamon is wonderful.
Mm.
Oh, nutmeg, yes. I mean, mm-hmm. or even just, yeah, just nutmeg.
Mm-hmm.
And the sugar, I always dot my pies with a little butter.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Gives them a little flavor. It's just something my mom and my grandmas always did.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it's something I do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So just be sure you get your thickener in there. There's also a tapioca option.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you might want to look into these things, and don't pull out the pie at 7 o'clock at night and expect to serve it at 7:15 because it will be runny.
So do you put a pie like that in the fridge and let it cool, or do you just let it cool outside?
I would let it cool outside and just keep it cool. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
if it's not like an egg custard or something in there,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't put it in the fridge.
But give it a couple hours.
Yeah,
least.
I would give it a while to set up, and hopefully it won't do what you are worried it will do. I also love
mm-hmm.
peach cobbler.
Mm.
But if Bump wants mm. pie, you better make it pie, baby.
All right. Well, thanks for the suggestion, especially about the cornstarch and the flour.
Yeah, a little bit of each is good, you know. And, yeah, sounds great. And your pesto sounds awesome. I freeze mine because I usually grow a few basil plants. And then, you know, it's like, okay, in the freezer with you because then I can use it all year.
Exactly. Well, that's where it is right now.
Awesome.
In fact, I got to remember to take
oh.
it out. Well, thank you, ladies. Have a lovely Thanksgiving.
Good to talk with you.
Thanks for calling, Lindy Ann.
You're welcome. Bye.
Yes, pesto, it's like, pesto lately has become like my go-to thing. I mean, you can put it on almost anything and it makes it better. You can put it, it's quick for roasted vegetables. You
mm-hmm.
can do it on fish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Gives it a little zip.
Yeah, if you want to try something
different.
And
you can use other things to make pesto besides basil. So.
Yeah, you can. And like she was saying, you can use all kinds of nuts, too. I've done it with almonds, walnuts,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, walnuts. Yep. Yeah, pine nuts. Ooh, expensive.
Yeah, they are pretty expensive.
Yeah.
Well, we are going to take a quick break here, but I want to give out the number real quick because we're still taking your calls, and we love hearing from you, hearing your stories, your questions for Terry. The number here at the station is 235-7721. Please give us a call. We want to hear from you, and we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Coffee table.
Thank you.
Good morning. You're listening to The Coffee Table on KBBI. I'm Daisha Eaton, here with Terry Roble for our annual holiday cooking show. And we were just talking about these amazing pumpkin, is it pumpkin cake or pumpkin bars,
it's
Terry?
It's kind of a cross. I mean, I think it's more of a cake. The recipe says pumpkin bars.
Well, so they are sitting here on the counter with this, like, fluffy, luscious, beautiful
cream cheese,
creamy frosting. Yeah, and Terry, who's engineering the program for us here today, the other Terry.
And today only, Daisha, your name should also be Terry.
Not to make it confusing, but Terry has just sampled one of these bars, and he is going to let us know what it's like.
Wow.
Thank you.
Moist, yeah, and just kind of pulled apart real easy, and the frosting's nice and creamy, and, you know, oh my goodness, I should have skipped breakfast this morning, just ate the whole plate of those.
And they're so easy to make.
Absolutely fantastic. And the caramel corn, that's what I was choking on during the bush lines at the top of the hour. And you actually all the work into that of popping the popcorn. My mom, I have a box of it at home. My mom sends for Christmas, and she gets the big giant like bags of already popped popcorn at the dollar store or whatever, and she loads it up with peanuts.
You know, I was going to put peanuts in it last night when I was making it. I had some little Spanish peanuts that I've been wanting to use up. And I went, nope, just keep it basic. But that sounds amazing. And my mom, actually, when I told her I was going to do caramel corn for the show, she said, oh, you need to go get the old style puff corn, Old Dutch. And I'm like, Mom, we don't get Old Dutch in Alaska. That's a real Wisconsin brand. And she called it puff corn. And she goes, I know. So she says, when I get it, I just want to eat the whole bag. And I'm like, Mom, I don't know, but you better send me some of this stuff because it sounds too yummy.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's like I got the box of it, you know, like 5-6 containers of it. There's a little note. Oh, if you want more, just let me know. I'll send you more.
Aw, that's sweet.
My brother's now a borderline diabetic. Ooh. He can't, you know, really go near it. And and Mom just, my family, you only cook in one size.
Yeah.
Extra large. So, if I don't ask for more, she'll have it till Easter.
Oh, yeah. Moms love cooking for their kids, Terry, so you better ask.
Yes. So some's going with me to potluck tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And actually, I'm going to send some to Shady down in California.
Aww.
And that because I mentioned I got, she's like, I miss your mom's caramel corn.
Oh, how sweet. And you know, just like your family, I can't cook for less than 6 people. I mean, I had 2 boys and they ate like little troopers. And to this day, you know, poor Mark, he's like, why do you make so much? I go, I don't know how to cook for less. And it just happens that way. And thank goodness he likes leftovers.
My aunt is the same way, can't cook for less. It's like, how about just taking the recipe and cut everything in half, and then you don't have it 6 months later in the freezer.
Well, we at KBBI are very grateful that you cook for at least 6 people and you share with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for bringing in all
this
delicious
stuff.
Well,
I had to bring Terry treats or he wouldn't let me come back next year.
Yes, you would get long, disapproving looks from me.
I would. It's like, what did you bring? I'm like, what do you mean you didn't bring anything? You're too busy.
Well, we have another caller. We have Laura on the line. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
Hi, Laura.
Hi. I haven't done this recipe for several years, so it might not be exact, but it's one I invented anyway.
Yeah.
You take the large size can of frozen concentrated apple juice.
Okay.
Boil it down to half as much. Then you add, I think it was 4 cups of locally picked lingonberries.
Ooh.
And depending on how sweet you want it, I think you grind up about 6 dates.
Oh.
And mix that in and cook it, and there you are. Nothing artificial.
Yep. Sounds amazing.
And it is fantastic.
And I bet you it's pretty.
Wow. And how do you use that with your meal, Laura? Is that like
like cranberry sauce.
It's like a sauce.
Yeah.
Lovely. Well, that sounds delicious.
That sounds great. Thank you.
I'll have to
You're
try that.
You're welcome.
Good
thought. Thanks, Laura.
Okay.
And it looks like we have Jan on the line.
Yeah, Terry, hi.
Hi, Jan. How's it going out there?
Oh, boy, it's a skating rink.
Oh, yeah. Yeehaw.
Hey, you guys raise your own turkeys, right?
Yeah.
Okay, how do you cook them different from the butterballs?
You know, I like to always brine my turkey, and you can wet brine them or dry brine them. Everybody has their favorite way of doing it. Is there a special way you like to do it?
I'm not the turkey cooker. The cowboy does the turkeys in this camp.
Oh, you just do the eating of the turkeys, right, girlfriend?
Yep, yep.
Yep, well, I always brine mine. You know, butterballs, you guys have that, they're injected with that solution of like chicken broth or turkey broth and butter and things like that. So they don't need that. But, you know, I have found that our homegrown turkeys are a leaner turkey.
Mm-hmm.
They have a little more of a heritage type taste. And so because they're leaner, I'm really careful with how I make them, keeping the breasts moist and such.
Do you bard them with bacon or anything?
You know, I don't. I love, who doesn't love bacon?
I know.
But I don't want that. I want that pure turkey taste when I make my gravy and eat my turkey.
Mm-hmm.
So I get cheesecloth and I I take a little butter herb mixture and I separate the skin from the breast and I put that, I smear that all over the breast, and then I, you know, season my breast, top my turkey with whatever, oil, salt, pepper, olive oil. I love olive oil. And then I have soaked cheesecloth that I soak in wine, in white wine, and I let thick layers of that on there, and then I also pour more butter on it. There's lots of tricks. Cook it upside down. Usually my birds are so big that I don't want to manhandle them a whole lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tempt them. I keep them covered for a while because I don't want them drying out, because they will. You know, they're leaner. They're like moose. They're a lean meat.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the brining is just whatever you like. We usually take a clean 5-gallon bucket, and apple juice goes in there, white wine, onions, bay leaves, whatever you like, and oranges, lemons, who cares? Just and let those little guys hang out in there. At least, I don't know, I let mine be in there overnight. And I keep it cool. A lot of people put, like, if you don't have access to an extra fridge to keep it cool in, or if it's not cool enough outside, they'll dump some ice in it and keep it in a cool spot and cover it with towels. You know, you just want to keep it cool so it doesn't get warm.
Mm-hmm.
And you're fine. I haven't gotten anybody sick or killed anybody yet, so.
And Terry, do you put salt on the bird? Do you rub salt on the bird, or is there salt in the brine? Or
there's salt in the brine. And you know, it doesn't, you just have to be kind of careful. I like to rinse it off. You don't have to. And there's so many different ways to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one time I did have really salty gravy.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be kind of careful. And I put a little salt on the bird, but not a ton,
mm-hmm.
you know, and also I like to put herbs, in my butter. So like your thyme and your sage, and things like that, and then that butter goes under the skin. So
is this the brining? Is that something you do like the day before? Like
yeah, definitely.
You let it sit overnight,
mm-hmm, 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 in a very cool place. We were lucky. We have an extra fridge in the garage. We shove it in there. But in years past, I've set it outside on the deck and prayed that a bear wouldn't come by and decide he needed a little snack. But Jan, does the cowboy have a special way? She's gone. Okay.
Oh.
Well, anyway, thanks for calling.
Yeah. You can call us back or tell us on Facebook if you'd like, Dan. We have, you're welcome to put some questions on Facebook, to share your recipes on Facebook. You can go to kbbi.org if you want to continue this conversation even after we're done with the show. We'd love to hear from you on Facebook. We have several posts up, and one today with a picture of Terry and her family with a turkey.
One of our homegrown turkeys.
Yeah.
Yeah, in years past.
Now, what's the rule of thumb for cooking a turkey? I know someone told me this once, but I think I forgot.
It's 160 degrees is what you want your meat to be at. And also remember, when you pull your turkey out of the oven, you want to let it rest. So you want to tent it. We usually tent it with foil and put a big old bath towel over it and let it hang out for 20 minutes or so. You want to figure at least a pound a person, pound and a half if you want good leftovers. But, you know, turkey, if you're buying your turkey, just get a big one, unless there's just two of you. Did that help?
Sure.
Sure.
Just, whatever. A little refresher. I mean, you usually don't cook turkey. I mean,
no.
Very often. So.
And it'll cook nice quicker if you don't have stuffing in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I like to just put aromatics in it, like your herbs and things like that, and apple and onion and celery, if you don't stuff it, and then make your dressing outside and bake that in a separate pan.
Okay. Well, we have another caller. I believe this is Taylor.
Yeah, hey.
Taylor? Hi.
Hi, Taylor.
Hi, how are you?
You caught me with a sip of water. I'm great.
Oh, I'm really enjoying your program. It's really exciting to get
you're so sweet.
Everything going for Thanksgiving. I wanted to share, a lot of people like to do gluten-free stuff, and it's hard sometimes when you're used to stuffing and gravy and everything that may have a lot of gluten in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be going up to friends' houses who might have celiac disease. But I wanted to share one useful thing that I found for gravy, a really great, I wouldn't even say substitute, but I'd say improvement on flour for your gravy is potato flour.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good. It just it just makes gravy and sauces so well. Even if I was making food for people who are not gluten-free, I would still use the potato flour. Not potato starch, but potato flour.
Yeah,
it's so great.
I've heard of that, and I'm sure you can procure it locally here.
Yeah, you can get it, I think, just at the store, out of the Bob's Realm Red Mill section.
Yep,
so good, and it's really easy. You just use it just like flour,
Well, you do know now, once we talked about this, that the store's going to run out of this.
I already have some.
I'm coming over to your house to borrow some, okay?
It's super easy, and it's just so, I don't know. It doesn't have that kind of weird floury taste.
Yeah, and that's the thing my mom always worried about when she made her pies is she would say, "Oh, honey, are you using flour in your thickener? Because it just gives it that pasty, floury taste."
And
so that's a great, great hint.
I love it. Okay, thank you.
Okay,
all right.
Sweetie, bye.
Thanks for the tip.
That's a great tip. You know what's really great? Another thing, though, is everybody that's called in today, I know. I've been here so long. I know these people. And oh, my goodness, that makes my heart very happy. I know that's a little cheesy, but I love Homer. I could never imagine being anywhere else.
How long have you been here?
32 years.
32 years.
Yeah, 32 wonderful years. So it was a perfect fit. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, if you'd like to call and get in one or two more questions.
I can't believe we're almost
for
done.
Terry, she is waiting for your question, your comment, your story. The number here is 235-7721. You're listening to Coffee Table on KBBI. I'm Daisha Eaton, here with Terry Roble, discussing holiday cooking.
So, okay, nobody's called in with a really, really disastrous story yet. So I'll have to share mine one more time. And I know some of our listeners have already heard it, but it still cracks me up. So when we first moved here and my husband worked, he's a police officer, and his dispatch crew would always bring in amazing food. And so one time a gal brought in a beautiful goose with this currant glaze on it. And he came home just raving about this goose. So I got the recipe, and this was a long time ago, so procuring things in Homer were kind of interesting. And we raced all over town, and we found a goose, and then we had to find this cream de cassis liqueur, and we found a bottle of that, and I'm like, well, it was meant to be. We got to make this goose. So part of the recipe was you cooked the goose, and you know, for those of you that cook goose, there's a lot of grease on a goose. You know, you're pulling off a big bowl every hour that it cooks. So I was making this sauce, and it's alcohol and butter and things like that. And you cook it down a little bit, and then you baste your goose with it at the end of the cooking. Well, obviously, I did not get all the alcohol cooked off the sauce. So I basted the goose. I put the door closed. We're standing around the kitchen. We had a little tiny cabin then, and just laughing and having a good old time. And all of a sudden, boof, oven door blows open. Goose pieces aflame go flying up in the curtain rods. And, you know, me and my girlfriend, we're pretty happy by now. And we're just looking at each other like, wow, that was impressive. And so basically the alcohol hit the goose grease and blew it up.
Oh, my goodness.
And
exploding goose.
Oh, yeah, exploding goose. So that's a great story, okay? Now, who can beat that? Come on, I know somebody can.
Something. Were you frightened at the time? I mean, what was your immediate reaction to the exploding goose?
Yeah, it was horror. And then I went, but being the cook person that I am, it was like, oh, my gosh. Is this going to work? How am I going to feed these people?
Did you end up eating the goose,
even though
it exploded a little bit?
It was excellent. It was just excellent.
All right. Well, I don't know if anybody can top that story today.
It really did happen, you guys.
That's a good one. And now you can laugh about it.
Yeah, do it.
Well, we wanted to let our listeners know, too. I know we were just talking about how much we both like Lynn Rossetto Casper.
Yes.
And her award-winning show on public radio.
The Splendid Table.
Yes, The Splendid Table. We are going to have that on the air. It's a live two-hour program on Thursday morning from 8 to 10, quite early for us, which is very nice, on KBBI AM 890 Homer. You can stream it online, too. And she'll be taking questions, so you could actually call her from Homer, Alaska, just like we're doing this morning. So be on the lookout and check Facebook to learn more about that. Lynn Rossetto Casper's Splendid Table.
And Daisha, I already have some information about that show up at our website, kbbi.org, so you can check out more about it there.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, everybody. It was a wonderful show. This was my first coffee table show, so I feel so lucky that I got to do it with you, Terry, because you can pretty much host this show on your own.
Oh, it's just fun to be here with you guys. And, you know, it's so funny. They have such a varied bunch of guests on Coffee Table, and everything from politicians to environmentalists and me, little humble me. So thank you for letting me come and share an hour with you today.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. It's been great.
It's been Coffee Table on KPPI. I'm Daisha Eaton.